Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are rethinking the future of customer experiences, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Dave Seaton.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation today. Dave, let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
My hot take, Alyssa, is that anybody with a skill and a will can be an independent consultant, and they should consider it.
You are striking fear into the hearts of some of our listeners, Dave, because I feel like a lot of people hear independent and hear uncertainty and fear and unexpected, you know, dry spells for wages and the feast and famine of consulting. So tell us more about, one, why you think anybody with the will and skill can do it, and two, why you think they should.
Absolutely. Well, first off, it's not for everybody because it does have a lot of uncertainty, a lot of risk, a lot of ups and downs, but it is for anybody who has that will and that skill. And when I say skill, you need to be really, really good at something, right? So this message is not for the 22-year-old straight out of college getting their first job thinking, oh, I could be an independent consultant. I had a 21-year corporate career before I quit, some recognitions and accolades and stuff. And I was very good at what I did. But what I've learned is you have to be just as good at winning the work as you are at doing the work. And that's where a lot of the fear and uncertainty and doubt comes in. And that's the will part. You've got to have the will to understand your big why you're doing this, and to persevere, to push through. As the poet Robert Frost says, the only way out is through. And if you've got the will, you can make it work.
I like that you made the distinction. I've never really heard that before, so I'm going to call it out. That everybody is not the same as anybody, right? Because we hear that and we say, well, anybody can do this. And then my brain immediately goes, well, everybody can do this. But you're right. They're not the same.
They're not. And, you know, that's one of the things about human beings is we like black and white advice. Do this diet, not that diet. Do this exercise, not that exercise. Here's your step-by-step life plan. You go to college, you get a job, you save in your 401k, and then at 65, you retire. And human beings love that kind of prescriptive, step-by-step, black and white advice. But the reality is we live in a very complex world with complex systems, and we are complex individuals. We have different values. We have different ambitions. What is right for one person is not right for another person. And so, you know, one of the things it takes to succeed as an independent consultant is this idea of resilience, the ability to ride the waves where, you know, you make $48,000 one month and nothing the next month, right? And, you know, so if somebody doesn't value that risk taking, that's not one of their core values, it may not be right for them. And no, that's okay.
It's definitely a change of mindset, right? So I'm very much like a fan of risk taking. I joined a pre-revenue startup right out of college. So I'm a fresh, as you said, like a fresh 21-year-old. And I'm getting ready to graduate. And I turned down 2 full-time offers with, you know, real companies that had wages and 401ks and like people who would help me learn and grow. And instead, I joined a pre-revenue startup where I was like employee number 1 official. And I had no one that like knew how to do anything because they'd never made money before. And I was in sales and marketing. Uh-huh. And I was 100% commission based. So like I would eat what I killed. And if I didn't make any sales, then like I didn't get paid. And I always tell people, like my joke is that my graduation speech someday is going to be why you should take a full-time unpaid job right out of college. Because nobody says that. Because my first year, I made like $1,200. Not like my first month, my first year, I made like no money at all. And then, you know, then it became 10, and then it became 20, and then like all of these, you know, more impressive numbers.
Right.
But like that resilience I look back and I'm like, what was I even thinking? Like, who was I to go do that? It worked out, but it did take a lot of like self, like the whatever the opposite of self-doubt is, self-belief, I guess,
in order
to go do it.
Yeah, that mindset work is incredibly important. It's incredibly important and often overlooked to identify those self-limiting beliefs and change them, right? So in this new thing I've started, it's a community for independent consultants. And so I talk to dozens of people who have either started doing this, they want to do this, they've been doing it for a little while and they're struggling. And they are quick to rattle off those self-limiting beliefs. And the last month I had one independent consultant tell me, well, you know, nobody's hiring because of Trump did this or Putin did this. And well, you know, I've signed two contracts in that time. So somebody's hiring, right?
Right.
I had another person tell me, well, you know, I don't know who to talk to. Like, I feel like the chief technology officer should hire me, but he's supposed to know all this stuff already.
Right.
And so they've talked themselves out of a sale before they've ever even had a conversation.
Well, and you'd be surprised.
Human being.
You'd be surprised how often that happens, right? That's not an uncommon experience in that people go into a room, right? A Zoom room, a physical room, wherever you are, and they've either already decided that the person on the other side of the table can't afford this, won't pay for it, won't pay what I want to be paid for it. So they immediately come in with that approach saying, I whether they realize it or not, that they're not going to get the deal. So they're going to go through the motion and then never actually ask for the close. I think that that's maybe my hot take is that so many people are going into rooms with the intent to not ask for the close rather than to ask for the close.
Yeah. 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 They believe that, like you said, they're going through the motions because they believe it's not going to happen.
Right.
And two years ago in 2023, I had, as an independent consultant, I had a long-term client and it just renewed like every 2 months. It was awesome. They loved me. I loved them. We were doing great work. And then one day it didn't renew. And I would find out later the company was being bought by private equity. And so they had to slash budgets and, you know, make the books look pretty.
You got to play the whole game, right? For private
exactly.
Equity.
Exactly. But so I had gotten too comfortable. I had coasted. I'd let my network get cold. And I was now, I had zero pipeline. And I went into full conversation mode. I was reaching out to 400 people a month. About 10% of them would reply, would respond, right? So for anybody thinking about that, like that's what the numbers look like. And you got to get at that in your head that a 10% response rate is good.
And is worth celebrating. Yeah.
And you got to get comfortable with 90% of the people you reach out to are going to blow you off, right? That's that mindset. But anyway, 400 outreaches, 40 contacts, half of the people that replied would book meetings. So I'd book about 20 meetings a month. And after 63 meetings, or with 63 people and then following down my sales process, I had five signed contracts. And I didn't really have my offer dialed in back then. So, you know, the majority of them, three out of the five, were for customer experience work. But I also sold a blogging deal, a LinkedIn coaching deal from some guy who, you know, he's like, man, you're really killing it on LinkedIn. I wish I knew how you did it. And having that open mind, I said, all right, I'll teach you for, you know, $1,000 and four coaching sessions, $1,000, I'll teach you all about LinkedIn. And he bought it.
Well, I want to roll back to where you started with this though, because a lot of people are not willing to do that very first piece. They want those five contracts and those five opportunities, but they're not realizing that's five contracts that was actually 20 meetings, which was actually 40 people responding to an email, which was actually 400 messages or outreaches sent.
Yeah.
And I see way too many people who want to be their own boss, who want to be a consultant, who want to go down this road, who maybe even have the skill to do so, but to your very first point, not necessarily the will to do what it takes, right? They have the will to be a consultant, sure, but not the will to do what it takes. So I want to touch that first. The second thing I want to comment on that you said is that complacency. I know so many consultants who have had a flagship client for X number of years, and they do get complacent and they do kind of settle in. And like, that is not an uncommon story. And the client probably still loved you, but their circumstances changed. It had nothing to do with the value you were bringing or who you were as a person, but the circumstances changed. So if someone wants to do this, if they're hearing this podcast and they say, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying, that I have to do all these things and it's going to be hard work, but it's going to be worth it. I want to get started. What is the first thing you would have them do to start down this path of becoming an independent consultant?
Download your LinkedIn contacts. You can do that. You can download it into a spreadsheet. Go one by one and highlight all the people who you think could either hire you or introduce you to someone who could hire you. Aim for 100 to 200 people and start reaching out to them. Reach out to them, ask for a 15 or 20 minute conversation. Tell them you're not selling anything to them. This is not a pitch, right? You want to get their advice. People love giving advice, right? Mm-hmm. So that's ask for their advice. That'll boost your response rates if you ask for their advice. 15, 20 minutes, really low effort for them. You want to get their perspective on the industry, what's working well, the challenges, et cetera. Right. And tell them up front, like, hey, I'm exploring becoming an independent consultant. I want to grow my consulting business. I'm talking to industry experts like you. I'd love to get your advice on where the industry is going, what the challenges are. Would you be opposed to a 15 or 20 minute conversation? Now, that's some other key language. Instead of would you be open to, you say, would you be opposed to? It's a subtle psychological thing. People like saying no. So they like, no, I'm not opposed to that.
Right.
Right.
The default is to say no, right? Because if you say, would you be open? I'm going to say no, or I'm going to ignore you versus would you be opposed? Well, no. I guess no. Right.
Right.
Just that little trick of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are skills that you have to learn as an independent consultant on the demand generation side of your business. And like I said earlier, you've got to get just as good at winning the work as you are at doing the work. And so this is a skill you can develop. How do I reach out to people, get them into conversations? And as you're going through your list of 100 or 200, you're booking these conversations, you're talking to people that you can potentially help or may know someone you can help, and you're listening for problems, what they're worried about, what they're frustrated with, what they're concerned about. And you're collecting all that data. And that's going to help you build your offer. Your offer is the one thing, right? You're not going to be a jack of all trades who, oh yeah, I can help you with anything related to customers. Sales, customer success, customer experience, journey mapping, interviews. I do it all. Nobody hires a do-it-all consultant. They want the expert if they're going to bring in outside talent. One of my consulting friends, she's an aerospace engineering consultant with some pretty unique wind tunnel experience. She is establishing herself as the go-to person if you need to test an unmanned aerial vehicle in a wind tunnel. How awesome is that, right? And she's going to have the reputation. She's going to be top of the list for that kind of work. She's going to be overbooked on that stuff.
Well, and niches get riches. Someone once said that to me. And like, it feels a little bit scary, right? To say this is very specifically what I do. And it feels like maybe you're limiting yourself to opportunity, right? Because when you first started, you said you didn't really have your offer fully baked. So you kind of like did a bunch of things that were kind of in the same vein. But you know, when you're first getting started, you're just trying to figure out what are people willing to pay money for? What are people willing to pay me money for? And what am I going to get some joy out of doing? Let's imagine someone has gotten started. They've decided to go down this path. They have the will, they have the skill to be an independent consultant. What do you think is like the biggest mistake that a green first-time independent consultant makes that that listeners should be on the lookout for?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of big mistakes. Let me think. A lot of the big mistakes, they're around your offer, they're around your pricing, and those mindset things we talked about, like, you know, going into a conversation thinking, well, I need to come in low because, you know, I know the economy, they probably don't have a lot of budget, I don't want to scare them off. Like, you don't know that, right? Your job is to discover that information, and there's skills you can learn for how to discover that. Offers, people build offers around what they want to do or what they think people need, not what people want to buy. Earlier this year, they're a client now, they've extended twice, but they wanted a workshop. That's what they really, really wanted, was a workshop. So I did a workshop for them, right? I didn't try and convince them that, well, what they really want is this project that I like to do, that I know how to do, that costs a lot of money. They wanted a workshop. So we did a workshop, and we drove a ton of value for them. And it's resulted in two contract extensions. You know, a one-time small project is now, you know, probably will be my longest running client.
That happens quite a bit too, in my experience, where you have a consultant who has some piece of intellectual property that they're very proud of and that they invented some framework, or they wrote a book, or there's some process that they, you know, are very, very proud of. Mm-hmm. And I see too many times where they are determined to put that intellectual property into everything they do, whether it makes sense for the customer or not, whether the customer wants it or not. And that just ends up creating friction for everybody involved, because mm-hmm. the customer wants what the customer wants. And if that's in your wheelhouse and something that you want to deliver, then you can just deliver that, and that's okay. Not everything has to be a Harvard business case study and the future book and a future keynote presentation. Sometimes you can just do a job.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit that rookie mistake nail on the head right there. It's all about listening to what the customer wants. What is that pain that they have? What are they worried about, concerned, frustrated, anxious? And how can you help them? How can you help them get to the other side, get that outcome that they want, right? Not what you think they should have or what you want to do or this really cool idea that you've got. What's the outcome that the customer wants?
And you used two different words here that I want to point out for listeners and really just highlight again. Don't come in with what you think you know. Come in with trying to discover. Because a lot of times, too, again, talking about rookie mistakes, you know, they're hiring you for your expertise. They're hiring you for something. So you act like you have to know everything coming into the room, mm-hmm. right? Because you're a consultant and this is your area of expertise. So they expect you to know. But in reality, everybody wants to think that their business is incredibly unique and their situations are super different than everybody else's. Every time I go into a new consulting opportunity, they're like, well, this is a situation you've probably never seen before. You know, we're going through this really specific, unique challenge that no business has ever had to suffer through. And then as they're talking, I'm like, okay, well, it's just like this project. It's just like this project, right? But nobody wants to hear that their business that they believe in truly deeply and love has the same exact problems that as every other business out there. Mm-hmm. So like keeping that in mind, that people want to feel like you are taking the time to truly know them as an individual rather than just a, you know, standard 10K that you've read and everyone is the same.
Absolutely. And that's one of the real benefits for companies of working with an independent consultant. Is they're working with the person, right? They didn't get sold by a partner at a big firm, and then there's a, you know, a fleet of new grads that runs in to execute, you know, a work plan that, you know, the partner made up 5 years ago. they get to work with the person. And that's actually an asset to you in the business development process. And, you know, to go back to something you said, don't go in as the expert with all the answers. Go in as the expert who knows what questions to ask.
Yes, huge right? distinction there.
Huge. And until they've asked you for a proposal, so when they've asked you for a proposal, now it's your time to show your stuff. Up to that point, you should be talking 30% of the time and listening 70% of the time. You should be asking questions, not talking about your great thing.
Yeah. Again, another trap that even seasoned consultants fall into. We use Otter for our note-taking. Mm-hmm. And note-taking app like that, one of the interesting features that I think is probably underrated is it will actually tell you your percentage speaking time. And we had someone on the team who really loved to talk. He would fill an entire meeting and then be like, okay, what questions do you have? And then the meeting's over. And we used it actually as a diagnostic for us to all practice like, okay, last meeting, my talking time was 28%. That's great. I got to try to keep it at 28, or it was 70%. I have to get it down to like 50. Let's make that my goal. Right. Because you're right. People want to be heard. And if you're doing all the talking, how can they possibly get a word in edgewise?
Yeah, you feel good if you're doing all the talking. You feel great, right? You're spouting out all your thought leadership and they're listening to it and maybe taking notes. You feel good, but you're not going to get the client that way.
Right. No.
You're going to get the
client. And if you do manage to get the client, you might not have what you need in order to actually execute the work. So then you're either going to have incorrectly scoped it because you didn't understand the situation that you're walking into, or you're gonna have to redo that entire conversation and then basically make the customer do it twice, which nobody wants another meeting of the exact same talking points.
Yeah, that's another trap.
So when it comes to working with consultants, let's flip it to the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. People who are hiring consultants, what do you think is their biggest blind spot when it comes to deciding whether or not to bring an independent consultant into their business?
I think people are, they're just stuck in what they know, right? Corporations, companies, it's always like, oh, I need to get this done. We need to hire someone to do this work. And traditional consulting has been, you know, the big firms won't even talk to you if your budget's less than $1 million, right?
Right.
But post-pandemic, with remote work, virtual work, and how that has enabled connections, right? Like, I don't have to only work with people in Colorado Springs or the state of Colorado. One of my clients is in the UK right now, right? We meet early in the morning for me, late in the afternoon for her. So it's this mindset shift that you can now access world-class talent on a temporary, fractional, or project-based basis. You don't have to make a full-time hire. And you don't, here's another thing about, and I'm sure we don't have time to get into the whole return to office and remote hybrid discussion, but a lot of that return to office is being driven by the fear that my employees aren't working at home.
Right.
The mouse wigglers, the lazy girl jobs, the people working three jobs, the quiet quitters, like we've all seen the news. You don't have to worry about that with an independent consultant.
Right.
Because this is well, number one, our reputation at stake. If we get a reputation for like cheating a client or overbilling them or something, like we're done. Right.
Because the industry is a lot smaller than you think it is.
Yeah.
Word gets out.
But the other thing is the motivation. Like we want to over deliver for our clients because it is us. It's our name on the letterhead, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's a great opportunity, again, not for everybody, but for anybody on the corporate side who is looking for, hey, you know, in my work as a consultant, journey mapping, right? Hey, we've never done a journey map before. There's a lot riding on us doing it correctly. we don't need to hire a full-time journey mapping person, right? Dave Seaton and Seaton CX can come in on a project-based basis, deliver a game-changing journey map, and then hand it over. And that's a great opportunity for those leaders to really make an impact without, you know, having to make a full-time hire, learn how to do it themselves, take on all the risk, maybe do a bad job, maybe not finish it, all of those things.
So as you and I both know, and our listeners, I'm sure, are getting the gist, consulting really is about, you know, time and relationships and the things that you do to build out that network, to understand who in your community has that understanding of your reputation and the good work that you do. So I love this question. It's one of the questions I always close with. Longtime listeners will know. I'm going to ask you to put someone else on the hot seat. Who do you think is leading the charge in changing the way we build relationships with our customers?
Well, I want to shout out to Liz Steble. Liz Steble was an independent consultant herself for 14 years. Then she created an agency called Proco to help independent consultants in a specific industry. She also founded PICA, the Professional Independent Consultants of America, and recently wrote a book on how to succeed as a solopreneur. She's been a mentor, she's become a friend, and she has been out there leading the charge to promote independent consulting and to support independent consultants for decades. And so look up Liz Steble, read her amazing book, and just absorb all she's contributed to us being successful in this industry.
I love that. I'm gonna have to check that out. I've never heard of her, so it's always exciting when someone brings on someone else who I can add to my, you know, personal learning and growth network. And if someone is really connecting with you and they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
LinkedIn.com/in/Dave Seaton. I do a lot on LinkedIn. But also, if you're interested in independent consulting, go to chickendinnerclub.com and just grab my free newsletter. Every Friday morning, I send out 5 tips and tactics for independent consultants to win more clients.
I got to be honest. I love the name. I'm assuming that's winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yes, you got it.
Yeah, I love it.
You got it.
I love the reference.
I love building fun brands that make people smile.
Yeah, it's totally memorable too, right? Like if you just said I was the consultants are us or whatever, like I might remember that, right? Yeah. But winner, the chicken dinner club, hell yeah, I want to be in the chicken dinner club. I want to win a chicken dinner every time.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for joining me on The Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating conversation. And if you are interested in learning more about becoming an independent consultant, make sure you're reaching out to Dave. Check out the Chicken Dinner Club. Have a great day, everyone. And thank you for joining us on The Growth Signal.
Thanks, Alyssa.